Te reo ererangi o te mānia. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Assalamu alaikum, kia ora, and welcome to In Transit, the series where we center the many journeys of immigrant ethnic women navigating life in Aotearoa, New Zealand, with me, your host, Hafsa. In each episode, I sit down with women who share their journeys of settling in a new land, the challenges they have faced, and the resilience that carried them through. From cultural clashes to quiet triumphs, and from moments of doubt to deep appreciation, these are raw, honest, and hopeful conversations. Whether you're new to the country or simply curious, this is your space to listen, learn, and connect.
Kia ora and welcome to another episode of our podcast. And today with me, I have another new guest, Saida. Welcome. So tell us about yourself, Saida. Who are you and what do you do?
Thank you, Hafsa, for inviting me for this podcast. Looking forward to be here, to be frank. My full name is Khairul Saida Abarazmi. You can call me Saida. I love people to call me Saida. I'm originally from Southeast Asian, from Malaysia. I'm a Muslim. I'm a mother. I have one husband so far, alhamdulillah, three beautiful teenage daughters. Life is good. So currently I'm a lead auditor at Toitū Envirocare, where actually we are reviewing, evaluating and assessing gas emissions for our client in New Zealand. Interesting job. Interesting.
Nice. So how did you come to New Zealand? What was what was the motivation to come here?
The motivation was I was tired, as simple as that. I need something, the changes, you know. It's not like life, I'm not grateful, it's not, but I believe there's something or somewhere else for us, not for me, for the kids and for the husband, for the family. What motivates me more is, Saida, you got more to give. Go out. Go out. Go out adventure. Go out. Meet that unknown person that you do not know. Mm. Unknown situation, the strange, the strange, difficult and crazy situation that you wouldn't know, but you know you have your God.
Yeah.
So you got that. Yes.
That is exciting to to come to New Zealand with that thought. So tell me about how was your first day in New Zealand and what do you remember about that first day?
I remember that we arrived at Wellington Airport. And my first thought was, wow, it's quite small. It's Wellington. Okay, that's one thing. But anyway, the breeze, the atmosphere is cool, breeze, situation that we with the bag, and again the unknown adventure is intimidating, to be frank. It's not something, good. No, it's not. It's not. But I told myself, Saida, you arrive here. Alhamdulillah. You arrive here. Alhamdulillah. So that's the first thing I think I said to myself. You arrive here eventually. So yes, still, alhamdulillah.
So tell me a little bit about what was happening before coming to New Zealand and back in Malaysia, and how the whole process of coming to New Zealand got started and how that came about, and just coming here. I know you said it looked small. So which city were you in Malaysia? Just a little bit more about that.
I would say that I'm from KL, this capital from Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur. It was bustling, hectic, very busy city. A lot of traffic jams, a lot of peoples. Life, I wouldn't say it is bad, but it's just hectic. You know, hectic and busy. I need to pause myself off. Deep breath, you know, deep breath. So when life getting busy, then I think one day that's it. Is this the life that I want, Saida? That was. Do you want to have this life at the end of your career? Because I was a lecturer at that time. It's like work, 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 and work. Work, 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 and work. And no time for yourself. Of course, no time for your family. No time for the husband and for the kids. So, ask myself, is this the life that you want, Saida? So, yeah, that's really, you know, that moment of, is this the life that you want? So, that bustling make me took the decision to retire from the Malaysian government sector. I have serviced for like 20 years there. Then I said, Saida, I think it's enough. You have contributed a lot to the government, to your country. It's time for you to go and venture, you know, bring your family together. And this is not our first time abroad. I've been to Australia for my master program. I've been to UK for my PhD program. So the moment of you decided that let's do this, but together as family. Together as family, yes, Alhamdulillah. So that's the life. We came here to New Zealand. We like it. We fall in love with
What did you fall
it.
in love with? Let's talk about that.
Okay, cool. Less people, less bustling situation. I wouldn't say I'm not busy. I'm still busy with work. Once you started work full time, still work. You still have to work anyway. But you have a moment of peacefulness. Can I say that? Peaceful, more peaceful, more have time for yourself, yeah, and have time more for your family. And that then you ponder and ask yourself, is this happiness? So what is happiness for you, Saida? When derived to that definition, you'll be like, okay. Again, Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Yallah. Thank you, Yallah.
So this was happiness.
Yeah. This is happiness.
So, and you mentioned about your teenage girls coming here as well, along with you. How did that they settle in, and what did they find about their comparison with where they were in KL and over here?
Exactly.
What was that like?
I always mention that I think the first few months I mentioned to my kids because they are teenagers, the time of growing up to know themselves, to get to know their identity, their cultural identity. Harsh as it is, I will say you are not Kiwi. You always be a Muslim. That's one thing. You always be a Muslim woman, migrant living here in New Zealand. So your cultural identity for you that you brings makes you. And yeah, Alhamdulillah, so far there's still I think we are lucky as such because we do have the integration between the UK life, then go back to Malaysia, KL, then Mama, I don't think we can survive here. Okay, come back here. So they have this identity that they can see that. And I always bring myself and them, remember your roots. Yeah, remember your roots. You always that person. It's not any other person. You always will be that person, is that person, and will be that too. So yeah, the kids,
So they slowly settled in because they had this experience of going to the UK and coming to Malaysia and then coming here and then settling in. And what was that you were saying quietly?
I like it here. I think the chosen your school choice makes a difference. And alhamdulillah, they are now
Yes.
in Hornby High School with diverse community. Not only not so many Muslim because they are wearing hijab, I can see that, but diverse. So this diversity somehow helped them. I think helped me too, for the school and for the management, the administration to embrace. Can I say that? Embrace that differences. Yeah, that differences that we are different in anyway. But it's good. It's good. They are it's not slowly. They like it. They like it. As simple as that. They like it.
Yeah, because that's what would have been concerning, isn't it? And the fact that they are in one of the most diverse schools in Otatahi Christchurch kind of might have made it easy for them to have that kind of integration and settling in there. So let's talk a little bit about when you came to New Zealand, because you know you obviously had a very good role job or a job out there in Kuala Lumpur. And from there, coming here, how did the first few years or the first few months go for you in terms of your professional career?
Oh my gosh, it wasn't easy. That's one thing. It was not easy. I was so confident. I have a master. I have PhD. I have been working for 20 years. What's more? I have everything. But it's not. It's not. It's not it. Having that, what should I say, stability during back home, because we work with government sector, coming back here, apply job in unknown territory. Can I say it? Unknown, strange territory that we never ventured. We assume we know, but it's not. Okay? I learned that. And we assume you're right. We have everything, but it's not. Yeah. So again, the lesson, you go back to your God. Go back to your God. Not emotional. And
I can see you're getting very emotional, Saida. Because you know, I know this because I was with you and you were with me at that difficult time. Okay. But alhamdulillah, you know, you have overcome that. I think and you are very brave and courageous, and I always admire that in you.
Yes, and I always like even my friends, you're getting there. But always go back to the creator. Go back to that. Who else? Nobody will help you as such. Go back. Go and longing for him. Go and cry. Go and, of course, be vulnerable. It's your God, right?
Yeah.
Go back and cry, tell, you know, and always go back. And don't as such, why I couldn't get this, why don't? Because this is the path that God creates for you. This is the path. I believe that. This is the path that God creates for you. Allah creates for me. And trust the process, which is something that we cannot see, Hamza. It's just something, wow, what should I do after this? Why can't? But alhamdulillah, 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 Allah opened the path slowly. Slowly. So just slowly. How I know then I got the job, then I can get residency, then it's something that you cannot say that time. It's unknown. It's just
it's very blank.
Yes, it's
you
very
have
blank.
No idea what's going on, right?
It's just like, oh my gosh, how because we human being is too complex with I know what to do with this. After that, we do this, this, and this. But actually, it's not.
Yeah,
you can try. You can initiate. But at the end of the day, it's not your call, man.
No.
It's not your call.
No. Yeah. And I know you are a person of faith. And because that was one of the things that that actually helped you get through the challenge of whatever that was in terms of coming here and... And I know you said about the unknown territory about because I think going back to when we were together 2 years ago,
Yeah, 2 years ago.
yeah, was when there was that challenge of you trying to find employment. Yeah, and could you just share a little bit more about that? Because you made the assumption that we knew it, and then what happened in there?
Okay. Interesting question. Good question, actually. Knowing New Zealand employment adventurous, everybody said, "Oh, you must know everybody to get the networking and to get this personal in-depth rope for you to get the job." Yeah, no networking. In the beginning, I believe that I do, but it's not everybody's willing to connect one thing or network with you and willing to help you. Not everybody. And you don't expect people to help you. No, you don't. And even your own community, even your thing, your close community will help you. They're I'm sorry, can I hear you?
You need to be a little bit louder about that.
Yeah, people can, yes, I know, you should do this, should do this, this, like this. But at the end of the day, you're the one who face all that. And you don't expect people to come and help you because they don't. Because they have their own problems to solve. They have their own life to live. And that should be okay. That is okay. Okay, so you then go back to yourself. What should I do now? Okay, for that the lowest moment of job employment, I believe I always been since I was a kid, I need to do my part. Yeah, go say that you need to bring yourself and meet people for networking or to show your face to that group or whatever. Do it. I did that. Go say that and introduce yourself. Who are you? And bring the values you can give to them, contribute to that organization. Do it. Which not everybody willing to do that. Yeah, of course. Do it. And of course, go on, continue applying. You don't expect people to come say that I have some position open, then you can go and apply. No, you don't wait for that. Don't wait. You have to do your part. And for me, again, the most important thing, go back to your God. Go back to your God. Ask for help. Nobody will help you. I say that? Oh my gosh. Yes. Nobody will help you. Go do your part, your own part. You need to do networking. You need to meet people. Go ahead. Go ahead. So that's why your leadership course. Really a game changer that I was, should I attend or not? That was really, I do not know what to do. Why should I go? But I said, just go, Zeda. You who knows? Allah sent somebody to you, or Allah make you think this way, this perspective change view. Which he did. He did a lot of things and open up my views of, wow, Zeda, you're not the only one. Come on. Hello.
That pat on the back was very true. Nice. Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges, Saida, about a lot of us who come in here and have to start from scratch, where we don't, well, some of us have the privilege of moving into a job right away, into a good job, which is linked back to our careers and our professional skills that we gained somewhere else, and the fact that we can get into a proper job here. But for many of us, I think majority of us, the challenge is real, isn't it? In terms of, and we saw that in our conversations with a lot of people in our lives that we've met, migrant women especially, who have struggled with that. In terms of trying to find that opportunity to just start.
One thing that I want to share, I've been working with UC as a lecturer, University of Canterbury, now currently with Toichu. I mean, working with Kiwi experience, working with Kiwi environment. Hell, we can do all this. Come on.
Because that also becomes one of the things, isn't it? That how will I understand the culture? How will I settle in? Will I even? I think there's that self-doubt as well that comes up, doesn't it?
Exactly.
It comes up
Where
so many
you be
times.
rejected over and over and over and over again, too many rejection, you start the imposter syndromes are real. It is real. Yeah. You start doubting yourself of say that what's wrong with you? What else? What else that you need? What else? Then yes, it's true, it's not really about you, it's the system as such. You have to push, 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 and push to break that system.
And I remember that, I know you have applied for so many jobs to be able to get into the role that you are currently, and I've watched your journey unfold over here, and the fact that you have remained resilient and gone through those challenges. Because one of the things that I think most of us have is, like you said, the rejections pull you down. And I have had the same experience, because I was in a proper good international firm back in India in middle management. And I thought that experience would have been good enough for me to come to New Zealand and start a job in middle management here in some organization. But little did I know that none of that matters. And I had to start off from a job which was working as a receptionist. And nothing wrong in doing that. But I think it took me a while to come to terms with that reality, that that is where I need to start, because it was about starting all over again.
Exactly, from scratch.
And it's challenging, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. But being resilience, I can remember one or two rejection that I got. Then I cried with my kids. I cried, 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 cried. Then, okay, then tomorrow morning, apply again. Then my doctor said, I do not know how you did this, Mama, but wow, just wow. But yes, because if you allow yourself to go sad, cry, cry, and cry, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm so stupid, or I'm not fit to be here. So it will overwhelm you, and then all this negativity will come in. This is not good because I'm not like that. I don't like that. So yeah, you really have to, okay, go down, fine, down, fine, but go up again.
Yeah, I agree with you. I had those times as well, and I cried. I
Yeah,
cried a lot.
a lot.
A lot. And at that time I didn't have children, but I had my husband, so bless him. He would just be the shoulder, right? And I'd just get frustrated, because I'd go, why don't they even tell me what is wrong with this?
What else? That's the question. What else that you want? What else that I don't have? What else that is not good enough for you? So
Yeah, I think that I think those are one of the biggest challenges. So now my question, from a professional to a personal level, is around the distance in terms of you coming here and having any relatives or family back home. How is that been for you in terms of the family, extended family support, and that area?
I really need to say this, the distance. I lost my father-in-law last year. It has been devastating. And I lost my own father this year.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
So the distance, we just couldn't pack our things and go back home. I just can't. I'm sorry, I just can't. So, but that's the fact that I have. What should I say? Embrace, which I discussed with my mom anyway. The sacrifices, I would say, for not being there during those ceremony, during those moments, it hurts. It hurts a lot. It hurts a lot. But it's life, right? That's the life that, okay, don't be emotional again, say that again. That's the life that I'm facing now. And That is the distance I have to acknowledge New Zealand is very far. It's very expensive just to go and buy a ticket. It's just, sorry, I don't have the money. I'm sorry, I don't have the means. And it make a hole anyway. It does still. And still grieving. Yeah. We lost these two significant people in our life. But again, grateful, Alhamdulillah, lucky enough. We are together. Me with my husband and the kids. My daughter's like, but Mama, are you okay? Not crying, I'm okay, I'm okay. But no, eventually you cry. Eventually you cry anyway. And my kids are like, poor you, Mama, are you okay? So that your kids are we're looking at you facing this. This is a challenge, I would say. This is the fact that we were going through, but as a family. So that's the thing. Distance, talking about distance that you said. And of course, I miss the food. My gosh, I love the food, Malaysia food. And me for not being there during Eid, for big celebration, for family gathering, for example. This distance, yeah. I'm trying because my mother-in-law and my mother doesn't have a husband anymore. So they can come here. Yeah, so that kind of thing is make the maturity of you out of you. The maturity, and I say that, yeah. You cannot dismiss that. That's the fact. Again, I go back to my God. This is the path that you gave me. Yeah, this is the path. And I know, and God knows, I can go through this. So I believe that. So that's the losses, the distance. I said, New Zealand is very far. Tell everybody, it is far. It is far. It's not just pack your things, pack your bag, go back. You can't. Cannot do that.
No, and I agree with that. I think there were quite a few women who I've spoken to on this podcast who have mentioned about that sometimes when we lose, our elders in our family, not possible to go back because the distance, and also you can't be there at the right time in there, and that leaves a big hole in our being as such. And like you said, you already mentioned about that the grieving process, it does take its toll on us as well. So take care of yourself. So I do want to ask, because we are away from family and the food and the festivals. How do you keep that here, alive here, in terms of your network in there?
Of course, with your own community. I've been selective, as simple as that. I've been selective, I've been abroad several times, looking at my own community. You know your own community. That's the fact, good or bad. That's the, what should I say? The information that you cannot dismiss. Okay? You know your community. So I've been selective. You're always for celebrating Eid together, and sometimes we go and have eating at other people's houses. But again, being selective is good because you don't have to attend all the gathering. How sorry, you're smiling, but you don't have to attend for all the activities that your own community organize. Don't be obliged or be committed to that. You choose.
Yeah, no,
Choose.
I get what you mean by that, because I think that's one of the barriers as well, that some of us think that, oh, because we need to we are here and we're part, we're kind of a member of the community, we should be there. But I like how you said selective in choosing who you want to engage with, because sometimes if you don't choose that carefully, it can become draining.
Exactly.
And also the fact that you mentioned about you have some information and you cannot dismiss that information about them.
So yeah, that's a fact. And again, love is not perfect. You are not perfect. Your community, even far, not perfect. Yeah. But how you manage, organize your own Probably as long as your own family, close knit yourself, the activity that you want to do. Yeah, sometimes I can meet them, sometimes not. Yeah, I need rest. I need my Saturday and Sunday. I need to snuggle with my kids to watch movies, only my kids, you know, that kind of thing. Not a bigger. It's you choose. Can I say? That's why being selective is good at this age. You don't have the obligation to fulfill all those requirements. No, it's not. I don't agree with that. It's not. And yeah, you're there. I still go with show my hands and lend my hands for anything, but you being selective. That's what.
Being selective. And I think that's good, very good advice, which nobody probably gives us when we come here. And then we learn the lessons the hard way. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's what I said. I've been abroad several times, Australia, New Zealand, and my own community. They're the same, 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 the same. They can comment, they can, oh, why don't you do this? Why not this? Hey, you should do this. But if you don't expect them to help you, it's not. It's just comments, yeah, cynical, sarcastically. It's not, maybe it's not their bad intention, but this is how they are, what should I say, looking out. Can I say it? Looking out the
Yeah, looking
community.
out for you.
Yeah, no, now we are laughing loud.
No, we are having too much fun here.
So yeah.
So in terms of food, I know you talked about food. So how do you deal with the loss of food and the and I'm sure Kuala Lumpur has got had incredible options in terms of food. So what do you do here now?
We still cook our own food. I don't eat kiwi food, but anyway. I still love, we still cook our own food. We love spicy food, all this curry, even all this chili. We still, you know, my kids are still, you know, with that kind of food. So, and my husband is a great cook. He can cook whatever.
Nice.
Yeah, lucky.
Very lucky.
So yeah, I mean the food, especially food, and you can't get that kind of amount of food when you were back home. You don't expect that because it's going to be very expensive, and it will not be that good anyway. That's so good, yeah. But and you know that among your community that sells your own food, yeah, something you can buy. By the end of the day, you feel, ooh, it's quite expensive, yeah. Yeah, it is expensive here, yeah. But food, we still maintain, we still eat, we still cook. I don't know. Again, this is not our first time abroad. We've been there. We still maintained, keep nurturing, and longing for all those food related. That is what who we are.
And I think food's a very big part. It comes up in every conversation, right? Oh, I miss the food. I think
That,
that,
oh, this
yeah.
is my food.
We need to do something about that side.
Now,
I don't know.
yeah,
We'll figure something out. We'll figure
yes.
something out. Right. So I guess now I think my next set of questions are around in terms of you coming here and settling in. How are you integrating your what you had in terms of your cultural identity and the value system, I guess,
Yep.
from Malaysia, and the new value system here, you know, which is New Zealand, which is very a bit different. How are you integrating those?
I was use example when I was in I quite active and rich here at Hornby Community Centre. I love to volunteer there, where I met woman migrant. Yeah, they have session every Tuesday, 10:30 to 12:30. The beginning was to teach English language, but after that we have social events that encourage the ladies to talk. Okay, from there then I can see how this longingness to be in the clan, in a group together, so that they can integrate well in New Zealand. So I can see that. You can see that we share food, how to prepare the food as well. So I bring myself again as a Muslim woman, migrant, coming here in New Zealand. People are like, how long have you been here? It's only 1 year. Hey, it's been great. Yeah, I know. So because I bring myself as me and my identity, the cultural identity, and I don't really change just to fit in. Yeah, I don't really need to change just to people like make people like me or accept me. I just being me, and I embrace other people who's different than me. Yeah, I have a brown skin, totally fine. Yeah, brown skin, beautiful, fine. And the values that come in, we learn from that. And you don't have to follow everything, every single thing. You don't. You have to follow the cultural you being you. You being you, yeah, you being you. And I love that part because I hate it when I need to change to somebody else. I love me, alhamdulillah. I love being me. And I love to embrace other people to be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I swear, I love that about people. So there's something like, I think I have friend Laura from Korea, and she said to me, Saida, I never have a Muslim friend. You are my first friend, Muslim friend.
Oh, wow.
And you totally have changed. Okay, that's the word. That's her word. Now I changed my perception towards Muslim community.
Mm.
I was like, thank you. Alhamdulillah. You know, that kind of thing. And yeah, and we should encourage that. It's different.
Yes.
Yeah, different religion even. Different religion even, right? So yeah.
I think one of the things that I really liked how you mentioned was about you being you, and you know that's the that's a lot of us have to make those adjustments. Like it's like you're cutting out parts to just fit in. Like you know, it's like a piece of wood that you're just chopping off parts of yourself to just fit in, and that leaves you with sadness in the long run.
Can I share one thing? I think towards the desperation of me getting a job, somebody has advised me. Said, I think you need to change your name. Have you heard this? Change your name.
Many
times. So that people can see your name properly and they feel you're not so much different, which I did once, only once. Yeah, this is my real, real experience. I did once. I changed mine to Cairo, Carol something. And that interviewer said, is this your real name? It sparked me like, my God, I was so ashamed. That's the feeling. I was so, Saida, why did you do this? You're so desperate, you know? And yeah, I didn't get the job, of course. As usual, I didn't get the job. But it reflects me. I promise myself now and ever, do not change anything just because you're desperately to have a job, to get a job. Don't. Just bring you. Your name, what's your name again? Khairul Saida Abbas Azmi. You can call me Saida. Saida. Yes, pronounce it. Saida. Teach them. What's wrong?
Saida.
Yeah. What's wrong? Right. Teach them.
Yeah, no, I think that is one of the challenge that a lot of people go through. And I know that there is still a lot of stigma attached about our names and how whatever systems, algorithms pick up, they automatically pick up on these names and go, maybe,
still,
I don't
until
know,
now.
I'm not involved in that part of the world, but I hear stories about people with excellent skills still having that challenge. In fact, I was talking to someone who was born and brought up in the UK, was Indian origin, came here. On the phone, you can't figure out that she looked different. She was Indian. But when they met her, they would just not be very open.
Oh, my God.
And she's currently a CEO of a big company. Mm-hmm. But she highlighted the challenge of, you know, on the phone, how easy it was to go. Oh, yeah, you know, but the British accent, because she was born and brought up there, she had the British accent.
Yeah.
But when you see her face to face, she's looks like, a Southeast Asian.
Yeah.
And that puts a challenge.
Oh my gosh. And about the challenge, because I have a grown up daughters, teenagers, which of course after this they will apply for job as well. I outspoken just told them, you is hopefully it's not, but you're gonna face the same challenges and obstacle like me as well. It's not to make you afraid, but that's a fact. But that's a but you went through and faced and saw me go through that, went through that phase. So push, push, towards pushing, push and push. You will reach there. Yeah, because they are wearing hijab as well. They are risky, in the same name, and da da da. And even my high school daughters applying job, the same thing. Mama, no respond, no reply, nothing. Yeah, they are that.
I think one of the things is, and I appreciate you saying preparing them for what the reality of life is, and not giving them a picture where they can just go in and have a good job around just with whatever they are, because that is going to be a reality for a lot of second generation migrants. And I think the more we prepare our children for that, the better it is going to be to say that this is the reality of what this will look like, and you might as well prepare for that and don't be demoralized.
Exactly.
I
Get
think.
prepared. And I said it, get prepared.
So I note that you mentioned about volunteering. Now,
Yep.
tell me a little bit about how you got into volunteering and why did you get involved with volunteering?
I love voluntaries even before, since I was young. Anyway, it's not something new, it's not something strange. I have been doing that. And when I heard that New Zealand is the kind of country that we have to start with volunteering first, which I did, alhamdulillah, with one of the AMWA is like Multicultural Women Association, which I joint venture with Hornby Community Centre. So that's where I started the volunteering job when I started which here in New Zealand. So I have this what should I say, connections with the founder, Hannah, that time. So then I see the activities that she brought in. Because she's been here, I think 10 years or so, yeah, in New Zealand. And she talked the same thing, the obstacle, the challenges. You see, have been here for 10 years, the same challenges, the same obstacle that we were facing. Especially, you are a woman, migrant. Yeah, but that's a but. I see that if people like do not volunteer to make some effort, can I say, initiative to reach out to this group of people, woman migrant, you are okay, we are here for you. So that volunteering work somehow open up that. I can see that. I can see the differences. Say, nah, I want to come here because you are here. You always make me feel, that kind of things. I feel that they need that because I've heard, even I, because I talked to them. Saida, for the first 3 years I've been here, I just keep quiet in the house, don't talk to people, don't meet people because I'm so afraid. I'm like, oh, poor you. I said, poor you, why? Come over, talk to me, you can meet me, you know me. Anyway, so that kind of thing that, oh, if you put yourself into that situation, for me, it's depressing, man. I don't know. That would be depressing. The first 3 years, and you don't walk, talk to people. Oh my gosh. So they need this somehow, that volunteering job somehow showed that how we need to be warm and show and lend your hand and embrace this community. So volunteering job actually help me to that, assist those women. And I that's what's good. The path that God creates for us as such. Yeah, as such. It's beautiful. And you are eventually, you are helping other people to reach there so that they can, okay, say that is there. It's okay. You know, that kind of thing makes me like, yeah. If not, how can they assimilate or integrate into New Zealand society easily? They can't. It's very strange world here. Hello. It's very strange. uncommon territory, and
Mm.
some people need help.
Yeah. Strange and uncommon territory. I think you put it quite nicely there. Uncommon territory, which is, yeah,
Territory.
that is my word of the day. Right. So as we come to the kind of the end part of our discussion, because we can talk for a long time, but I have to be
Yeah, of
mindful of
course.
time. I think what the one of the key questions that I ask everyone is, so if you were describing New Zealand to someone back in Kuala Lumpur, what would you tell them about New Zealand, and what is the advice you would give them before coming here?
First thing, it's peaceful. The life is peaceful here. Less people, of course, especially if you're from a country that have a lot of people in your city. It's beautiful. You cannot deny that New Zealand is beautiful. And with the everything is beautiful here, especially the scenery. The advice I will give to them, don't expect people to help you. Just one thing. Don't expect people to help you. And don't expect you just sit down and everything will be all right. No, it's not. It's not that. The most for me, the most important thing, go back to your creator. Because we belong to our creator, my God, Allah, we belong to him. Go back, always go back. Don't go and tell people oh, how difficult well, it's very it's you won't get anything you won't from human being of course go back and I believe this in Quran said those after difficulties there will be ease believe that I believe that and when I reflect back my life in 48 I'm 48 years old yeah go through all this journey. My gosh, if I don't have my God, I wouldn't be here. Yeah, that faith, that belief, really makes me going. That you can't really be there. That belief, that faith, and from that slowly, can you believe? Because I always pray, Ya Allah, open up, open the path, please open the path. I cannot see. I cannot see, my God. I cannot see. Of course, I cannot see. But I believe you will help me. I always believe. So a bit. Have faith. That faith is very important. Also. I think if we're losing faith, we lose ourselves.
True,
Losing
very
faith.
true.
Yeah. We're losing faith. We lose ourselves. So be strong. Strong. Be strong, always pushing forward. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Don't just, oh, you can't see, but trust the process. This strange and unknown territory is made by your God. Just trust that. You do not know, yeah? You do not know.
No,
Never.
you can't see. You can't see sometimes when you've been there. It's like,
It just blanked.
yeah. I just because I have. I think most of us as migrant women share similar journeys. We understand what it means when you say this. When you say that you can't see, that moment when you can't see is very hard to get through.
Exactly.
It's the hardest time of your life because, when you were in your country or the land that you're coming from, it was settled. Right,
Yeah,
you packed up
contestant.
all of that and you come here thinking you know everything
Yeah,
here.
think you're new everything.
I am sorted. And then you come here and it's like, oh, I
Wow.
can't see anything. I think for most of us, that point of I can't see anything has happened at some point in time. While we settle into New Zealand.
Yeah, true. Agree. Yeah.
Right. So towards the end of our conversation, which I and I and I have very important a couple more important questions to ask is around. So you've come from a different country and you're now settling in. And does this place feel like home? And what is the definition of home?
Definition of home when you're happy. Happiness. So what is happiness to you? It is home, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, this is home. When you feel happy, you don't feel stuck. Can I say that? You don't feel stuck. You don't feel annoyed. That's the word I would say in English. Annoyed. When I annoyed, oh my gosh, I don't know. So yeah, and happy. Do you feel happy, Saida? Are you happy now? I always ask this question to my kids, even my husband. Are you happy to be here? Because the decision that you make together as a family to come to this new country, they must come from you, home as a family. Yeah, it's not only you, the whole family. Because it involves with their life. Happiness.
True, very true. Oh, nice. I think that is what I have time for today. But I'm so grateful to you, Saida, for sharing so deeply about your journey of settling here. And I know we got a bit emotional, but we had a lot of fun as well as we talked.
Emotional. Yeah, we always do the emotional cry and then you laugh.
So thank you very much for sharing that. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us on In Transit. If today's story moved you, taught you something new, or simply made you feel seen, we'd love for you to share this episode with someone else. Also, don't forget to tune in to Plains Media for the next episode. Until next time, remember, your story matters.